To come and share this morning. You know, I just really sense just within the worship and the time that we've had this morning, and just even with those scriptures that Pastor Stephen was sharing, to stay, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I believe that we're in a real spiritual battle at the moment. The enemy knows that his time is short and that he's attacking his church. He's attacking Christians. We're in a spiritual battle. You know, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but we're wrestling against principalities and powers. So your neighbor may give you grief, but you've got to attack the spirit that's behind him. You know, I've found so many times in my life where I've had some difficulties. And where people have really been a real problem. And I just remember this one case and instance, and this isn't my message, but we'll get onto it in a second, was that I worked in this job, and I'd only been there probably 2 or 3 weeks, and they employed another guy for the job as well, but he was a lot younger than I was, and he thought he knew it all, but he was just so rude, and he was so difficult to get along with. He'd walk through and I'd say hi. He said, "What are you looking at?" You know, just this sort of thing when I walked into the workplace. And it wasn't until probably this was going on and it was wearing me down, and this will come in my story shortly, but it was wearing me down. And I remember we had a connect group at my place, just men, and we thought, well, just really see if we can attack this thing in the spirit. So we went really hard, we prayed really hard, and warfared. And you would have, the next day I came to work, there was an absolute change. He said, "Oh, hi, how's it going? You know, you choose which channel you'd like on the radio, all good." And from that moment on, I never had any more difficulties with him. So you've got to take it in the spirit, and it's not if you start, you don't want to run from the battle. You want to stay in the battle. You want to continue the fight. You don't want to give up. So that's really my message this morning, and the title is "Don't Give Up," because I've found over the years, and next year I will have been a Christian for 40 years, and that's sort of showing how old I am now, I suppose. But in those 40 years, I've wanted to give up many of time, but I haven't given up. But what I've noticed over those years, I've had people that I've looked up to, people that I've known, and they were on fire for God. But I wonder now, and a lot of them are no longer walking with God. They've walked away. Our pastor in Christchurch, a really good man, very gifted, and he grew the church that we were part of from 7 people to over 200, probably within 2 years. Maybe that was a bit quick, but anyway, it grew very quickly. But then things happened. The attacks started to come. And people got discouraged. And some left, some were saying stuff, and there was a lot of stuff happening. And so we went from around 250 back down to 30. And my pastor just lost heart. And, you know, he's walked away from the ministry. He's no longer in ministry at all now. And it really just, I'm just sort of, it's sad to see that. And so this morning, I just want to encourage you not to give up. Don't give up your walk with God. And I'm coming really from a spiritual sense, because in the natural, there's probably things that we need to give up, you know. Stuff that we feed our bodies or stuff that we watch on TV, we probably need to give those things up. But I'm coming from a spiritual sense. So in Galatians 6, verse 9, it says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, For at proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So Paul is really encouraging us not to give up. Not to give up. You know, at the moment, I suppose, where we're placed in the world and all the things that are happening around the world, we can get wearied and we can be troubled and we can listen to what you hear on the news and this, and you get wearied down and you can get discouraged and you think, well, I'm doing good. I'm trying to press into God. I'm trying to do my best. I'm trying to help other people. But it doesn't feel like God's doing anything in my life. It doesn't feel like God's doing anything for me. And there were lots of times in those 39 years that I've been a Christian that I felt that. I was fortunate enough when I was a young Christian to have an encounter with God, where I experienced the power of God on my body in a tangible way, and it really, that probably put a foundation in the ground for me that God was real. I always thought God was real, but he became really real to me now then. And so any time that I felt like I was wanting to give up, I had to remember now God is real, and I've experienced him, so I want more of him. I need to keep pushing forward. But God also wants us to grow as Christians as well. As a young Christian, I found a lot of times that God was doing a lot of things for me. He seemed to be answering my prayers. I seemed to be hearing his voice. And it was great. But God also wanted me to grow. And during those times of growth, things can get hard. It's not easy all the time. And we're going to face challenges. And those challenges really refine us. Those challenges will strengthen us. Those challenges, if we don't give up, will help us to grow stronger in the Lord. Amen? Amen? So we're not to grow weary, get tired, or lose heart. You know, when you lose heart, what happens, you start just going through motions. You're just going through the motions of things. And I've seen it over the years of watching people. Once they were like fully engaged, fully motivated, fully on fire or going for God, and then over time, things have happened and they've grown weary. And they've lost heart. They've got tired. And they start to draw back. And when they're at church, they're not excited anymore. They're just going through the motions of coming to church. And when you get to that place, it's not a very good place to be, because you're just coming into church and, oh, stay for the service and get out the door as quickly as I can so I don't have to talk to anyone. And so when you get, and then it goes from there to thinking, oh, I don't need to come to church. I can watch church on TV. There's plenty of places I can have church by myself. So my heart's not in it anymore. And that's something we have to do, is guard our hearts. Guard our hearts from discouragement. You know, don't allow our hearts to get hardened. You know, when disappointments come and life issues happen, it's very easy for you to harden your heart or to get disappointed or to start to be, when someone's done something to you, you start to build a resentment and an anger, and all these sort of things harden our hearts. So then, and that takes us away from God. You know, the more that we focus on all the negative things that happen around us and that's affecting our heart, then we're not open to receive and have all that God has for us. So, and I'm conscious of time, we'll get through this. So don't be weary in doing good, for at proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. So my word there is, do not give up. Do not give up. In 2 Thessalonians 3:13, Paul was encouraging the brethren there. He says, but as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. As Christians, that is what we should be doing, is doing good things. Doing good things. So keep doing good is loving others, helping others, and looking out for others. That's doing good. How do we stay? How do we stay fired up? How do we stay in that place? In Hebrews 10:23-24, it says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. And let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of good love and good works. You know that word there, hold tightly, that's like a death grip. It's like you just can't get out of that grip. And that's how we've got to hold on to God. We want to hold on to him tightly. You know, as a youngster growing up, I had an older brother who was 7 years older than me, and we used to wrestle, and I don't know why I did, but I always wanted to try and beat him. But he had probably double the weight that I had, and he was double the size almost. But anyway, we would wrestle away. But sometimes he would get me, and he'd get me in one of those bear hugs, and he'd just wrap his arms around me and then just squeeze and squeeze. Now, he wouldn't let go until I said, I submit, I submit. I didn't want to say I'd submit. I didn't want to say that because that means I'd lost. But when I couldn't hardly breathe, it came to that point that I had to submit. So that's how tightly we need to hold on to God. We don't want to keep God over in one place and try and organize our life and do everything else in another place. We need God involved in everything, and we need to keep ourselves involved with God as well. We need to, you know, just to keep reading the Bible. We need to keep spending time with him. We want to be ready when he comes. You know, Jacob, in Genesis 32, he wouldn't let go. When he wrestled with God, he wasn't going to let go, and he held on. He said, God, I won't let go until you bless me. So the reason we can stand is because he who promised is faithful. God is faithful to his word. He's watching over his word to perform it. Wavering in the dictionary means really to lose strength, determination, or purpose, to become unsteady. In James chapter 1 and verse 5 down to 8, it says, if you need wisdom, ask a generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking, but when you ask, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person who is divided loyalty is unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord, for their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything. So when we get to wavering, then it's like, is God going to do it? I don't know. Have I got a plan A or a plan B or a plan C? And there'd be plenty of times in my life where I've had the plan B, C, D even, because I've wavered from the truth. You know, if I believe the truth, I'm going to stand on the truth. I'm not going to waver and be like that, tossed in the sea to and fro. Because that's how the enemy wants us to be. Oh, do we believe God or do we... try and work it out for ourselves? Are we going to stand strong for the Lord, or are we going to leave him and try and work things out for ourselves and do that? So discouragement will always make you waver from the truth. So when we get discouraged, we will always waver. That's just how it happens. Did she so or did that happen? So that can happen in the natural, but it also happens in the spiritual. When I'm discouraged because I don't feel that God has answered my prayers quick enough, I become discouraged. And there were plenty of times that I was discouraged because I thought I was doing all the things that I needed to do for God. I was praying and I was doing all these things just to get God to answer some prayers. But it was really from the wrong motive. God is gracious. And it's God's grace. It's not through works that we gain salvation, is it? And it's not through works that we gain brownie points with God. We want to do it with the right motive. And sometimes I think my motive was wrong. But in those times and in those seasons, I knew that God was working on the inside of my life because he needed to deal with issues and things that were weak within my character. And my character needed to be built up stronger. And it was through those places of trial and adversity and just being tired and sad and where are you, God? It was through those that God built strength into my life. And I've noticed that over the years that how I've grown from perhaps where I was. Now, God always wants to give us things and answer our prayers, but not always in the time that we can expect. And sometimes we have a place where we think, well, God, you're expecting it to be done by this time. And when that doesn't happen in that time, that's when the discouragement comes. That's when the discouragement comes. Now, and you know my story that, Angela and I wanted to have children for a number of years. And as time went on, it was difficult over that season. But we have a child now, and it wasn't the way that we'd thought it was going to happen. But God will always fulfill his promises. Amen. God will always fulfill his promises. So discouragement will make you avoid church. Jesus meets us in one another to encourage us to stir us up. So it's meeting with the ecclesia, meeting with everyone in church, having that time of fellowship together, where if I'm down, they can bring that encouraging word because we all have the Spirit of God within us. We can all move and we can always bring a word of encouragement to a person. And that gets us off ourselves and looking at ourselves and looking at someone else to help them, to encourage them, to build them up. And as we do that, then we get built up ourselves. Then we're encouraged ourselves to do more. You know, I was thinking of the Apostle Paul. You know, he would have had every reason to give up and be discouraged, wouldn't he? In prison many times, beaten with rods, whipped 39 lashes, stoned, shipwrecked. I would have wanted to give up after that. You know, I was doing God's work. I mean, I thought the first time when he was, who was he with, Silas? And they were preaching the gospel, they were doing God's work, and yet they were pulled in to prison and into the inner part, stocks on, but they were there that night worshiping God, praising God. And God delivered them from that. One thing about Paul, he never stopped pressing on to reach the end of the race, to receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Jesus, is calling us. So what we've got to do as a foundation is recognize God's love and mercy. In 1 John 4:9, verse 4:9-10 says, God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world that we might have eternal life through him. And this is real love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. So God loves you. And really, I think as a Christian, that's the first thing revelation you need to have is how much God loves you. And if God loves you, he is for you. He's not against you. That God wants, it's a plan and a purpose for your life. And he wants you to succeed in it. You know, it took while I was a sinner, God still loved me. You know, when I first became a Christian, my concept of with God was that he was in the heavens there. I always believed that God was there. But that when I did things wrong, he had a big stick and he just wanted to beat me, to punish me, really, for what I'm doing wrong. But I had the wrong concept. And I know as I grew and I learned about the character of God, I realized how much God loved me, that he never, ever gives up on me. The Father will never give up on us. No matter how far we've gone, how far we've fallen away, he doesn't give up on us. He's always there to take our hand when we're ready to come back to him. So you really need to have that revelation of God's love. So... And we're getting, the time's actually going on us, so I just want to just finish up with this scripture here. In 1 Corinthians 13:7, and that's the great love chapter. So if we're operating and walking in love, you know, love never gives up. It never loses faith, is always hopeful, and it endures through every circumstance. So love never will give up. So if we're operating in the love of God, we're not going to give up. Okay. And there's a few more scriptures, but I just realize that time is going. And, you know, the other thing I would just say is just be motivated to look out for others. Because as I said before, if you take your eyes off yourself and look to others that are needing help, you'll be able to bless them, and that will encourage them. So love needs stimulation in society. So we need each other. We need to be together. So just in closing, and maybe we can just have some that worship music going. And just, I had this scripture which Pastor Stephen's already spoken this morning, but I'll say it again. Final word, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Don't give up on God's promises. Don't give up on his word. Stay strong. Stay steadfast. Be unmovable. You know, the devil will try different things. But as Christians, we're going to stand strong for God. We're going to stay in the fight. We're going to stay in the battle. We're not going to drift away. We're going to advance as the army of God. We're going to move forward. We're going to move forward. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We've just got some worship music going. I just in these moments. Oh, Father, I just thank you. Lord, I just thank you for your love for us, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Lord, I just pray for each individual here this morning, Lord. And Father, I just pray, Lord, just that you would just, Lord, just touch them with a fresh touch of your Spirit right now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just two things I want to just pray for this morning. The first one would be that If you're here this morning and you've never given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, I just want to give you that opportunity to come to Christ. Maybe you've walked away from Him. Maybe you've been with Him, but you've just drifted off. You've got weary and discouraged. I just want to pray for you this morning. So if we just all just bow our heads and just follow me with this prayer. And if it's you this morning, I'll just get you to raise your hand at the end, and I'd like to pray with you and give you a Bible. So just, Father, so just follow me now. Father, I just thank you that you sent your Son. Jesus, I ask you now to come into my heart and be my Lord and be my Savior. I repent from my sins and I turn to you, and I will follow you for the rest of my days. In Jesus' name.